Today is the day, 2,000 years ago, that Jesus walked out of a tomb. 3 days ago, he was nailed to a cross, dead and buried. And at that time, prior to that, he had 12 faithful followers, men who put their faith in him, put their trust in him. And then he's nailed to a cross. And at that time, he has about 120 faithful followers. This is 3 years later. Now, 2,000 years later, roughly, it is said to be about 2.3 billion people worldwide who claim to be followers of Jesus. 2.3 billion. I wanted to do the math, like 2,000 years, 2.3 billion, but I didn't have that. That's too many zeros. But Christianity is the largest religion in the world. It's the largest. So I have to ask, how did 12 men spread a message that 2.3 billion people, 2,000 years later, worldwide, buy into? Yes. How does that happen? I can tell you how in one word. Resurrection. Resurrection. Jesus is the only one to fulfill every prophecy, every claim, every prediction, everything written about him in the scriptures. He fulfilled every single one of them. Amen. And the most important one was the resurrection. Yes. He was nailed to a cross, dead, buried, 3 days later, walks out of that grave. Yes. The resurrection is what gives people around the planet more hope than anything else we can put our trust in. Amen. The resurrection is what turned Jesus' followers into depressed and defeated to courageous and contagious people spreading a message of hope. Yes. Because when they saw Jesus come back to life, it changed everything. When Jesus shows up in your life, when he comes crashing into your life, he changes everything. Yes. And the first reason that the resurrection gives us hope is because through him, we have been completely forgiven. Yes. 1 John chapter 1 says, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all wickedness. Hebrews chapter 8, the writer was quoting the prophet Jeremiah, who was speaking the words that God wanted him to speak to his people. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. You see, the moment we put our trust in Jesus and we accept his forgiveness, he says all of that is now forgotten.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
How many of you can forget every offense that's been done? We're human. We can't. Jesus says, it's a new day. Everything has changed. I'm with you now. You are forgiven. A lot of us, we go through life with regrets and remorse. We wish we had done things differently. There are things that we've done that cause us to feel bad, cause us to feel guilty. And God, our Creator, does not want us going through life carrying around guilt and shame. Because it makes us tired.
Yes.
It steals our peace of mind. And therefore, true life can only be found in Jesus. He is the new beginning. When you're trying to get that weariness and that heavy load and all that stuff that you realize something has to change and you can't figure it out, there's only one way or one person who is the solution to that. Jesus. Romans chapter 4 says this: He was handed over to die because of our sins, and He was raised to life to make us right with God. Isaiah chapter 53, the prophet Isaiah says this: All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid upon Him, Jesus, the sins of us all. This is sometimes hard to comprehend for people who are outside of the Christian faith. Why do I need a Savior? What do you mean, my sins? What is this all about? And it's also kind of hard to explain. That's the supernatural part of it all. And that is what Easter is all about. This day, all of mankind, all of us, has at one point wandered away from the original intentions and plans that God had for us, that He ordained for our lives long before we were born. There's several scriptures that talk about this. But because we wander, because we stray, the punishment of sin is upon us. The moment we put our trust and our hope in Jesus, our sins are forgiven, and we are made right with God, and we no longer face the judgment of our sinful nature. No more. John chapter 11, Jesus said this: His friend Lazarus had died, and they buried him in a tomb, and Jesus, it took him a little while to get to him, but then Jesus raises him back to life. And here's what He says: I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in Me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in Me and believes in Me will never, ever die. That's what Jesus says. This is another reason that the resurrection gives us hope. We are no longer afraid to die. Jesus broke the power of death. The curse of death was broken because of the resurrection. You know, worldwide, isn't it true that everybody has this fear of death? There was a song a Christian artist did a number of years ago. I always remember these lyrics. It says this: Everybody wants to get to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Because we don't know what's there. We don't know what the afterlife is like. But in Jesus, we do. There are hundreds of promises in His Word that tell us we will be in heaven with Him. There's no more fear in that. It's gone. It's over. We know that by placing our hope and our trust in Jesus, we will one day be with Him in heaven. But when Jesus died on that cross, His disciples, His followers, they ran, they hid, they were scared. None of them believed the resurrection was going to happen. None of them understood what was going on. So they hid in fear. But that fear didn't last for very long. I want to read a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. And it's about these two guys. The story is called The Road to Emmaus. And these two guys, they were in Jerusalem when all of this took place, the crucifixion, and Jesus is dead and buried, and everybody's leaving in disbelief. They just cannot believe this man was healing people, setting people free from demonic oppression, casting out demons, setting people free from depression and anxiety and sight, giving them their sight back, raising people from the dead. Now he's dead. What had happened? So these two guys, they're traveling from Jerusalem to this town called Emmaus, and all of a sudden somebody comes up and starts talking to them. And he starts telling them all about the prophecies written about this Jesus and all of this stuff. And then they get to their destination, and this man says, I gotta go. And they beg him to stay with him. Come on, have something to eat with us. So he goes in with them. And as soon as he breaks bread, the scriptures say their eyes were opened. It was Jesus that was with them. And they said, after he left, oh, and then he disappears. Just disappears. And they looked at each other in disbelief and astonished. Didn't our hearts burn as we were walking and talking with this man, with Jesus? So I want to pick up the story after that. Luke chapter 24, verse 35. Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they had recognized him as he was breaking bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself suddenly appears. He's standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking that they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands, look at my feet, the holes from the nails. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I'm not a ghost." As he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Still, they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate as they watched. So just humor me for a minute. He ate as they watched. You ever watch somebody eat? Like, they're all like, it's him. Jesus appeared to his disciples to let them know, "I did it. It's done." His final words on the cross were, "It is finished." Acts chapter 1, if that's not enough, Acts chapter 1 says this: "During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time. And he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God." 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter, one of the disciples, and then by the 12, the other disciples. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers." I mean, there's three passages. There's more we could read. For 40 days after Jesus rose back from life, he was witnessed by over 500 people. Read a story from the book of Acts, chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 8. Jesus is talking to his disciples. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." This right here is the reason why Christianity spread so fast, so wide across the ends of the earth, because people shared what they had seen with their own eyes. They literally watched Jesus ascend into heaven. I meditate on that verse a lot. What was that like? Like up, 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 up. You're not just watching a balloon, you're watching Jesus. And then there's two angels. He's coming back, guys. He's coming back. That is hope. That is hope for all of us. Jesus is alive, and nothing can stop his followers from spreading the hope that lies in this good news. His followers went from hopeless to hopeful. Eventually, like Jesus said, the Holy Spirit came upon them. See, the moment you ask Jesus into your life, God's Holy Spirit lives with inside you, and it bubbles up over you, and you have this hope and this boldness and this joy in life that you never had before. And that's what they experienced when the Holy Spirit came upon them. There was nothing that could stop them from spreading this good news. The psalmist said it best. See, here's the other thing. When we put our trust in Jesus, you know what else we find out? We find out what our true meaning in life is all about. And the psalmist said it best in Psalm 138. The Lord will work out his plans for my life. For your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. Don't abandon me, for you made me. Now, just a side note, what that last part tells me is, when you feel lonely, when you feel isolated, when you don't sense the presence of God, you can say, God, please don't abandon me. You made me. You're with me. I need to know you're here. Now, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The New King James says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. You're stumbling through life. You're wondering what's going on. You don't know what's going to come around the next corner. And you invite Jesus into your life. The Lord will work out his plans for your life. Everything that you wondered about, everything that concerns you, he will bring to perfection. Every worry, every doubt, every fear, every wonder, every new day will be worked out as the Lord sees fit for you. He will work out his plans for our lives when we are living with him and for him. That's what that verse is saying. We might have plans that we want to do, but the moment we ask Jesus into our lives, he might say, I've been waiting for this because this is what you are called to do. Our ultimate purpose in life was originally intended for us by God well before we were born. There's a passage that says, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper and not to suffer, not to worry. And until we get this figured out, life doesn't always make sense. It might for a while, but there's always that cycle. There's always that next turn where confusion sets in. When explaining who he is to those who put their hope in him, Jesus said this. He was talking about there's an enemy out there, a thief. You see, when we're not living for Jesus and with Jesus, there is an enemy out there, and his name is Satan. And he wants nothing more than to keep God's creation, us, from enjoying a relationship with our Creator. And Jesus called him a thief. And he comes to kill, destroy, and ruin every life that he can, because he knows the potential that we have when we put our faith in Jesus. Yes. And he is out to stop that. So Jesus said, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. When we live for Jesus, it is satisfying. Church, and rich is not monetary. Wealthy is a different meaning in the kingdom of God. You just feel good. You feel centered. We're not really living until we're connected to God. We're just existing. Floating through life with no real purpose. And when I say purpose, I'm not talking about a career or a family or an education. I'm talking about the purpose that God himself had created for us long before we were born. Supernatural purpose, kingdom of God purpose. Things that we can do with Jesus in our lives. We got a pastor here with us today from Vietnam we're going to talk to later on. He knows what his true purpose is. Yes. We're going to find out what real purpose is in life. The only way for our lives to totally make sense and for us to truly be fulfilled in life is to do it with Jesus at the center. He is our focal point. He is the solid ground we place our footing on. Because he is the one we should be trusting to lead us through life and beyond. And these are just a few of the reasons. We could talk about the reasons all day long why the resurrection gives us hope. But the three we just covered: forgiveness, eternal life in heaven, and true purpose in life. You see, I have a clear conscience every night when I go to bed that I am completely forgiven of every wrongdoing I've done and every wrongdoing I'm going to do tomorrow. I mess up, say things, do things, but I can lay my head down to sleep at night knowing that I am forgiven. Every night when I go to bed, I say, Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you for my life, my beautiful wife, my children, my family, the second chance you've given me. And if there's anything that I've done, please forgive me for that too. And if I need to go make amends, I do that. That gives me a clear conscience to start the next day over again and again. I know that no matter what happens, there is no fear in my life as to what lies beyond life here on earth. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, I am guaranteed eternal life in heaven. Guaranteed. And I know that I am living the life that was created for me. There is fulfillment, there is joy, and there is security in knowing that if I stay close to Jesus, I am on the path that he intended for me long before I was born. And I haven't been doing this my entire life. All of us have wandered. We've wandered into a wilderness. We've wandered into a mess. We've wandered into a hole. And Jesus is the only one who can get us out of that. See, prior to me putting my faith in Jesus, inviting Jesus into my life, and putting my trust in him, I was not certain of these things. There were unanswered questions. There was guilt. There was stuff that I was carrying around that I had no idea I was carrying around. There was uncertainty for what lies ahead tomorrow. Be quite honest with you, the life I was living, I didn't know if there was going to be a tomorrow. But now, there is hope and a solid foundation that my life is now centered on. Yes. You know, shortly before he was crucified, Jesus said this to his disciples. John chapter 14, he said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home." He's speaking of heaven. "If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." No one gets eternal life in heaven except through Jesus. Sometimes that's hard to comprehend. But here's the deal, church. If Jesus didn't die on that cross, if he didn't need to die on that cross, then it was a lie. And if it was a lie, how do we explain over 500 people witnessing him walking the earth 40 days after he rose from the dead? And if it was all a lie, then why did the disciples go from being scared and scattered to boldly preaching the good news and the hope that is found in Jesus? Every single one of his disciples were put to death because of their faith in Jesus. Nailed to a cross, burned alive, tortured, beaten, stoned to death. One of them was sent to an island in prison for the rest of his life. If it was a lie, and you knew it was, would you be willing for that? Would you do that? Would you allow yourself to be put to death for spreading the news of something that you knew was a lie? I am literally betting my life that Jesus rose from the dead and that he is not a liar. So my question for you is, who and what are you betting your life on? 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was hanging on that cross, nailed to that cross, he knew April 17th, 2022, you would be sitting in this particular chair, in this particular room, listening to this particular preacher. And I believe Jesus wants you to know that he hasn't missed one single second of your life. He has seen every highs and lows. He has seen every hurts and sorrows. He's seen it all, and he's wanted to be there for you, but the offer was not extended. And I'd like to give you an opportunity to invite Jesus into your life. In just a few minutes, we're going to do that. And I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I just want to see where you're at. We'll say a simple prayer, and that'll be it. But your life will be changed. It's as simple as this. Romans chapter 10. It's so simple. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Saved from what, Chip? Saved from eternal destination apart from Jesus. Saved from the enemy that is out there that wants to destroy you. Delivered from depression, anxiety, hurts, addictions. Doesn't happen overnight, but it'll happen. Saved from everything you've never wanted to happen in your life. Saved from the hurts, the memories, the things that go on in your head. That's what I mean. That's what the scriptures mean. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. I just want to give a minute here for anybody here that wants to invite Jesus into their lives. And in just a second, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand so I can see where you're at. Because I truly believe Jesus wants to come crashing into your life so that he can show you how real he is. So that he can show you what a changed life looks like. And I thank you for that.